Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, your teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I hope that you are having a fruitful summer and taking some time out to spend in the presence of the Lord. I'm coming to you at this time because we have a need that I would like to share with you. We have fallen behind in paying for our radio time and would like for you to join us in making up this shortfall. I know the show has blessed many people throughout the years. Some have even taken the time to write and let me know what the show has meant to them. Here is one of those letters. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me so many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I was in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during an especially trying time of my life. May God continue to bless, strengthen, and encourage you. Wow, what a letter. Any financial assistance that you can give will enable us to continue to help people like this dear soul who wrote this message. The show has especially touched those who are incarcerated, who write and ask for materials, but of course are not able to contribute. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Would you please consider a tax-deductible gift to help bring our expenses up to date? And then secondly, would you consider giving on a regular basis to the ongoing expenses of the Anchored in Jesus radio program? My friends, it's been a long time since I've personally come to you on the radio to ask for your help. I can assure you that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. I have never received any financial remuneration from the radio ministry, and we have no paid staff. All those who help produce and broadcast the show are volunteers. In these perilous times, I'm more committed than ever to preach the word of God to those who need it, regardless of their ability to pay. I want to take what I preach on Sunday mornings and make it available all over the world through the internet and this radio broadcast. Would you continue to help us do that? Of course, I continue to solicit your prayer support. This ministry functions and is able to stay on the air through your prayers. But we also have financial needs that help us to get the word of God out. You can make your checks payable to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That's P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can give online at the Anchored in Jesus website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. And once you get to our website, you can hit the Donate Now page. Thank you in advance for your help. I'm trusting the Lord for His provision, and I'm asking you to seek the Lord on how you can participate in helping us. Thank you for listening, and to God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, A Revelation That Requires an Examination. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Revelation That Requires an Examination.
In the midst of a society that is increasingly becoming anti-Christian, where Christian rights are being squashed and being subdued. Lord, let me be. I tasted the word this morning. Oh, it was good. It was good. Did you taste this morning? How about this week? Did you taste the word of God this week? Did you get into the word? Did you taste it? See, that thing this morning was real to me. And I realized that. And I even wrote in my journal, and I talked about that this is a message for God's people, because I think we're just beginning to see the start of persecution. And it's going to be easy for a lot of people to jump ship. He told the church in Smyrna, be faithful even unto death. That if you're faithful, that you will overcome. That you will overcome. I tasted that, saints. I tasted that. The psalmist said, see, he said that the word of God, let me put my glasses on here, that the word of God is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Oh, my goodness. God was walking along one day, and somebody told him, there was a voice that told him, pick up some pebbles. And when you pick these pebbles up, you'll be both glad and sad tomorrow. So he picked up a handful of pebbles, put them in his pocket, woke up the next morning, and they were all turned to diamonds. And he was glad because they were turned to diamonds. But he was sad because he wished he would have picked up more. Isn't the word of God like that? If we pick up the word of God, we'll be glad that we dived into the word of God. We'll be glad that we picked up the word of God. But saints, there's going to come a day. Oh, whew. There's going to come a day when you wish that you would have picked up more. That you wish that you would have picked up more. You often think if anyone ever got to the point, and I think this sometimes, you know, sometimes I have crazy thoughts. But if you ever got to the point where you couldn't see anymore, you couldn't read the word of God. Have you put enough of it away in your spirit? Have you put enough of it away in your heart that even if you could not look and crack open another Bible and see another word in the Bible, would there be enough to sustain you? Would there be enough? Saints, he says the word of God is more valuable than gold, is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Let the word of God, get into your spirit. And then he talks about the compensation of this revelation, the compensation of this revelation in verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. That the word of God serves as a warning to help you do the things that are right, to help you do things that will not cause you to end up in a bad situation. That the word of God is a warning. And many people go on and they don't heed the warning. They are involved in a life of licentiousness, a life of debauchery, and all they had to do was take a look in the Bible, and it says here that by this thy servant is warned. That you're warned. You know, broke my heart when I was watching all the stuff leading up to the Super Bowl, that one of the guys on the Denver Broncos had got caught in an area where they were soliciting prostitutes. And I mean, man, it just so happened that channel ABC was there. And they got the guy on film. And the Denver Broncos sent him home. One of the great experiences of an NFL football player is the play in the Super Bowl. And this guy didn't even get a chance to play, because he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. Moreover, by them are your servants warned. See, when we follow the word of God, it keeps us out of situations like that. Well, I wish somebody would hear me this morning. That whenever we read the word of God, it keeps us out of situations like that. I don't know how many times I've had to talk to people that had just got themselves in a mess. And the reason they got themselves in a mess is because they didn't walk according to the word of God. by the word of God is thy servant warned. But you know, notice the flip side of it. In keeping them, there's a great reward. You know, again, let me just say this. You know, I'm just going to be raw, right? That when people are having illicit sex, you open yourself to all type of diseases. I don't know how many diseases. There's a whole bunch of diseases that are out there that you can get by having illicit sex. But if you do what the Word of God says and abstain until you're married, in Hebrews 13, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. That if you do what God says, I'm not going to say you'll be disease-free. You might contract it from water or something like that, but you won't contract it because of illicit sex. In keeping them, there's a great reward. What is the reward? The reward is that you don't have to worry about VD when you keep the Word of God. That when you keep the Word of God, again, let me give you another illustration. There was a doctor in Florida. She called for a Uber driver. And the Uber driver came, and this lady had the same name as the lady who really asked for the Uber. And the Uber driver got out and called the name, and she came, but she was the wrong person. And she got mad. She was drunk. Doctor, medical doctor, all that time getting the medical degree. She went up to the Uber driver and tried to kick him right in the groin area. Kicked him in his legs. He pushed her away, and she fell down. She went and got in his car and started taking all of his papers and throwing them out the window because she was drunk. End up, got suspended from her job. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping them, there's a great reward. Oh, saints, somebody hear me now. The compensation of this revelation. And then let me close with the examination. That when you look at the revelation of God in creation, now let's go back. You look at the revelation of God in creation, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day, utter speech. Night unto night, knowledge. No language where it's not heard. The sun comes out like a bride, goes through the sky. Revelation of God in creation. The revelation of God in his word. We saw that. You've done a revelation. Now it requires an examination. Now you got to begin to look at yourself. You've got to begin to do an internal examination. And as the psalmist does this internal examination, let me get back to the song here. Okay, here we go. The first thing we see is the purification. And then we see the sanctification, and then we see the meditation. Look at verse 12, the purification. He says here, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, cleanse my spirit. Revelation of God in creation. Revelation of God in his word. Lord, cleanse me. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up on his throne. His train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Isaiah got a revelation. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of sinful lips, and I dwell amidst the people who are of sinful lips. Something should happen in your spirit. There should be a yearning. There should be a crying in your spirit that's crying out, God, cleanse me. Lord, there's things that I know about. But notice what he said, Lord, cleanse me even from the things that I don't know about. Cleanse me from the secret faults. Lord, when I've offended somebody, when I've said something that I shouldn't have said, Lord, when I acted in a way that was ungodly, Lord, cleanse me from the things that I don't even know about, because this revelation is too great for me. This revelation in creation, this revelation in your word is too great for me to stand before a holy God. Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me, God, so that I can stand before you. When's the last time you got on your face and you cried out for an old-fashioned cleansing? You just asked the Lord to cleanse you. Lord, you just went through your life and, you know, Lord, I've been wasteful. Lord, I've been slothful. Lord, I've been irresponsible. Lord, I've not taken good stewardship over what you've given me. And you just asked the Lord for forgiveness. Just cry out for cleansing. I tell you what. Maybe the reason that we don't do that is because we haven't had a good glimpse of God. We haven't really seen God in all of his glory. And so we just skip about our day. And we just go about doing things that we want to do. But if we get a glimpse of God, there should be a cry out for purification in our life. There was a hymn in the hymn book. And it says this: if I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to grow astray, if I have walked in my own sinful way, dear Lord, forgive. If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself should suffer strain, dear Lord, forgive. Here goes one. This gets me. This gets me right here. If I have been perverse or hard or cold, if I have longed for shelter in the fold, when thou hast given some fort to hold, dear Lord, forgive. Forgive the sins I confess to thee. Forgive the secret sins I do not see. O thou Lord, Father, teacher, thou helper be. Dear Lord, forgive. The purification. Next, we look at the sanctification. In verse 13, he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Sanctification. What does he say? Lord, set me apart. Lord, set me apart. Let me walk your way. Lord, let me walk after you. Because in walking after you, Lord, if I'm sanctified, if I'm walking in the way of sanctification, then I'll be getting a victory over these little sins. And guess what? I'll be delivered from the great transgression. And there's a whole lot of people, saints, that are falling in the great transgression. What is the great transgression? You know, it's different for everybody. But it's that sin that overwhelms you. It's that spiraling sin that takes you down. That if you walk in the path of sanctification, that you'll be innocent of the great transgression. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been guilty of committing the great transgression? I don't know what that is. For you, I can think back to my life. And, you know, there's been several times. You know, before I knew Christ, I'm going to be honest with you, that I committed the great transgression. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I committed the great transgression. You know, it was that sin that took me down. And you know why? Because it was the places I was hanging, the people I was hanging with, and the things that I was doing. But if I walk in the way of sanctification, if I walk in the way that God has called me, then I avoid all these little sins, and I'm on the path to reward, and I'm not on the path to the great transgression. Some of you are on the path to the great transgression. You know, we have people who are watching this program. This program comes on about 9 times a week on the Family Channel. And I get people calling me, say, I saw you, I watch you on TV. And maybe there's somebody that's watching by TV right now. And you are on the road to the great transgression. And God is saying right now, look, I've given you this revelation of myself in creation. I've given you this revelation of myself in the Word. Now you need to do an examination. And a part of your examination needs to be sanctification. And then verse 14. This examination should lead to meditation. Notice what he says here. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That you have to come before the Lord in meditation. Come before the Lord daily and ask the Lord that the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart are acceptable in his sight. Did you say something yesterday that was not acceptable? Did you do something yesterday that was not acceptable? You know, it's something when you have somebody that's there, whether it's on your job or maybe you're involved in some organization, and you have to do the right thing all the time. And if you do something wrong, there's somebody to say, look, you know, you did that wrong. You know, it puts you in another way of thinking when you are held accountable on your job for what you do. You just can't go do anything on your job and then turn it in and think that your employer is going to be happy. No, you're accountable. And so you make sure that you do things that are right. You don't do a flabby job. You don't do a half-hearted job. You try to do what you're getting paid to do. And you do it to the best of your ability. Why? Because you are being held accountable. Somebody is there examining your work. And so it is when God holds us accountable, when we meditate before him and we say, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. When we say that, that's accountability. That's accountability. That when I come before God on a daily basis, and I said, Lord, is there anything, as I think about creation and your word, is there any way that I've offended? Lord, please show me so that I can make it right. Let the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. A revelation that leads to an example. Let us.
This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and as we close out the program today, let me remind you that we need your help. First, we ask you that you continue to pray for this ministry, and second, please remember us in your giving. Any financial contribution that you give will assist us in the ongoing work of this ministry. May the Lord richly bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of God Works the Night Shift. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, a revelation that requires an examination, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request a revelation that requires an examination. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request a revelation that requires examination. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, there is a downloadable brochure on politics that can help you parallel your political views with God's Word. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order them, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.